We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Did you cut your d*** off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Oh, boy.
I had to cut my d*** off, honey. We're going to win a Super Bowl. She'd be like, all right. She'd be upset.
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it?
Dale Arnold.
How you doing, Mr. Dale?
Don't even say what it is because you're going to bother people, just say Boiler Dale's back.
Rich Keith.
No, you didn't.
Did you really? See, he is what baseball needs. Yeah,
we need Sean.
He would be the biggest star in Major League Baseball.
Dale and Keith, middays. The boys
are back in town. Let's get it on.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Yes, we are reunited once again after I had a couple of weeks vacation, and Keith's wife had a baby.
Yep, a small child.
Well, they usually are.
Yeah, tiny.
I mean, they're varying degrees of smallness, but...
She wasn't as chunky as we were led to believe, by the way.
You had led me to believe that she was going to be a little larger.
No, she wasn't. 8 pounds and an ounce. Yeah, which... A few weeks ago, I wouldn't have known if that was big, small, or in between, but from what I'm led to believe, it's kind of in between. There are definitely bigger babies out there, so, yeah, not that chunky.
But you did say that the prenatal intelligence test, she
off
was
the
off
charts.
The charts.
And that remains to be true.
I mean, she is just a genius intellect.
Very intelligent. Hard keeping up with her. You know how smart she is. I feel stupid, which is hard.
Now she's reading textbooks to you while you guys...
Yeah, which is nice.
Has she made her way to the Fortress of Solitude yet?
She's been down there. I don't think my wife's wild about her being down there too much. Yeah, I don't know. There's probably a lot of sharp objects. My sword collection. No, I don't know. I would like a sword, but anyway. No, she's not really down there too much. Not yet. She got her own spaces in the house.
So one of the things we discussed earlier on was the rather, in our opinion, idiotic proposal by the NFL to, hey, we got an idea. Let's go to an 18-game schedule, but...
Like, before you say no.
No way. We have some...
Yeah.
But we're only going to make you play 16. Like, in fact, we're going to not allow you to play 18. And we all think that's a dumb thing. But we have a pretty good idea why the NFL wants to do it. So the Twitter site Sports Media Watch has put out a list of the 50 most watched sporting events of 2019 so far. So they've got the whole list here in order from 50 to 1 of the most watched sporting events. Spoiler alert, the NFL is first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, and 12th. The College Football National Championship snuck in at 11.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The Patriots Super Bowl against the Rams was the most watched sporting event.
And so this
obviously.
Is, again, this is 2019.
This is
just playoffs and Super Bowl
so
because
far this
nothing
year.
Else was even there. So, yeah, it's all those games.
So, number one, Patriots Rams Super Bowl. Number two, Patriots Chiefs AFC Championship. Number three, NFC Championship. And you know, you go from there. So it's pretty clear why the NFL wants to do it. By the way, the Chargers-Patriots divisional round game only checked in at 8th.
Mm.
I don't know why that is. And that's as far back as you go because obviously...
Chargers-Ravens wildcard game was 10th. So I'm guessing those were all the playoff games, right? So the top 10 were the 10 playoff games.
Yep.
And Chargers-Ravens was still better than the national championship game. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Colts-Texans, that was the game that was 12th. That was the AFC wild card game. So that game was the only thing that got beat, and it got beat barely by the Clemson-Alabama title game. So it's all football.
The highest rated NBA game was Raptors-Warriors Finals Game 6. That was 14.
Right.
Finals Game 5 was 15. And then USA-Netherlands Women's World Cup checked in at 16, ahead of the Rose Bowl, ahead of the Kentucky Derby, ahead of college basketball, Elite Eight, Final Four, the highest
other
rated
NBA Finals games,
the highest rated NHL telecast of the calendar year so far. Blues-Bruins Stanley Cup Final Game 7 is 38th on the list.
Oof. More people watched Michigan-Florida in the second round of the college basketball tournament than Game 7 of the Cup Final.
Yep. more people watched U.S. England Women's World Cup semifinal.
Well, that was actually a close match.
Actually, it was very close.
That was a competitive match.
Yeah.
I watched that.
But if you're wondering why the NFL is desperately trying to find a way to wring more games out of the Players Association.
Oh, of course.
And look, there is some doubt in our minds whether this is even a legitimate attempt by the NFL to do this. What we think it is a little bait and switch with the Players Association. Okay, all right, you beat us down. We'll take the 18 thing off the table.
But don't you get the sense that 18 games is in the near future more likely than not? Now, again, forget this caveat about the 60 game. Throw that out, because that'd be one of the things that they would give back. But I could see them really extending this, maybe cutting into the preseason a little bit, but they want to add dates. They also want to be able to add weeks on the calendar, because you think about how they've already done that with the combine and the NFL draft and free agency and all of that stuff. They're really trying to spread it out. And if now I don't know if they would want to push the Super Bowl or if they would just start earlier, or I don't know how they would make it out, but I feel like there's been so much talk about this. The fact that, you know, Thursday night football, for an example, used to be just Thanksgiving. Then it was Thanksgiving through the end of the year. Now it's all year. So you're like, all right, how can you get more money? Like, they're not going to play on Friday. They're not going to play on Saturday. That's high school and college time. Even though they could overtake that, I just think they're gonna avoid those days. They've gotten the number of days of the week, but as far as the number of weeks in the year, I feel like that's the next thing that they're going to add to.
They've left Friday nights alone forever because of high school football.
Right.
They've left Saturdays alone until college football is over.
Right.
That gap between the end of the regular season and the bowl season, where they stick a couple of Saturday night games in there, they leave those days alone intentionally. I can't imagine they'd add another day.
No, that's why it's weeks.
They try to stay away from certain things. Look, they probably will try. I think it's dumb, and I don't think there's an appetite for it.
Now, if they increase the salaries, like if all of a sudden the players say, hey...
By the way, they've got lots of money. They could do that.
And especially if they add the two games, and if they tell the players, well, hey, guess what? You're going to get, you know, two more game checks is what you're going to be getting. Don't you think the players sign off on this? Because I feel like the players are always so worried about the right now.
The next check.
They always are. Like, not every single player in the league, but enough of them. And that's why anytime there's like a work stoppage, the players always cave before the owners do. Always. In this sport. And so my guess would be if you told them, hey, you get a couple more weeks, you get a little bit more money, they're not going to be worried about the next generation of players. They're not even really worried about their own health. They're going to say, yeah, let's do that. I'm probably only going to play 5 years in the league anyway. I might as well play 5 years with 18 games than five with 16.
Well, and they probably are going to say, hey, we'll accept it because I'll make more money and I don't have to play 18 anyway. I'm still only going to play 16 if I'm healthy enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to play 18. It probably will be a way to sell it. And I guess the Players Association would say, look, they're going to have to expand the rosters to do this.
Yeah.
So we'll have more jobs.
Players. Yeah, so they're kind of painting it in a way where they can convince the players to buy in.
The fans are getting screwed.
Yeah, they are.
Because it's a regular season game. They're charging regular season prices. But, oh, by the way, we can't play Tom Brady today because, you know, rules are rules.
Well, that's gonna get tossed out. But that's just, they put that out there, as you said, to sort of get the conversation going. And then it's like, oh, see, we made some concessions. Like, we were able to give that back. And that's just, it's the owners just getting what they want and finding a way to generate more money. And they're going to until it gets to a point where maybe it is the oversaturation or the pigs getting fat and the hogs getting slaughtered thing that Mark Cuban said so long ago.
Well, everybody thinks there's an insatiable appetite for football, and there's a huge appetite for football. It's not insatiable. These spring leagues never work. One has already failed this year. The XFL is going to fail going forward.
Yeah,
it's
not going to work. Top league. I think if anything, and there are definitely towns and cities and that do support minor league organizations. That happens all over the country. But I think when you're talking about these big time numbers and the big time interest, it has to be the best of the professional sports leagues. And it's one of the reasons why the MLS, outside of really just a couple of cities, has so much struggles is because they are what, like the fifth, not even a top five like soccer league in the world, Whereas the NFL, baseball, NHL, NBA, those are all the best. And if you try to throw something else at us, like, guess what? Not a lot of people are going to watch the G League. Not a lot of people are going to watch the Independent League or the International League, all these things. And that's what the XFL is. That's what the AAF was. But if you extended the NFL season a couple of more weeks, even if you and I say, oh, you don't need it, what, are you going to not watch it? Like, you're still going to watch it.
I don't watch Thursday Night Football all the time. I mean, you check in, you look, I don't sit there and go, okay.
Yeah, you don't watch all 3 hours. But, I mean, I end up watching more of it than, 'cause I think it's a dumb idea. But then I find myself saying, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes is playing this week, so I got to watch him. Or, you know, fantasy football or whatever it might be. Shime's probably betting on the games. Like, you end up kind of watching it anyway. Even though you think it's stupid, they should just be playing on Sunday.
I think that the NFL will try to wring every dollar they can. By the way, you're in business. I understand that. Yeah. You should try to wring every dollar. But will there come a point where ultimately people retaliate, where they strike back and they say, you know what, enough?
I think for me, it would be less of the 17-game regular season, 18-game regular season, and more of the tweaks they're making on the field. Because remember, last year at this time, our big concern was the new rule that they sort of wanted to make officials aware of if anybody lowers their head, it's a flag. And
right.
Remember, we were saying, all right, great. Well, if you
try to tackle somebody. On them and-
well, no, but didn't it feel like there was just going to be a penalty all the time? Like, that was the concern was, all right, so now you're going to call every time a running back hits the hole, that's going to be a penalty. Or every time a safety comes up to make a tackle on a tight end, that's going to be a penalty. And we got a few of those in the preseason. And then it kind of went away. And it went back to being the normal sport. But if it does turn into, like, if we're getting closer and closer to flag football, that to me is when things are really going to fall apart. But as long as it's still a insanely violent sport that people like to watch, it's going to make the crazy money and have these insane TV ratings.
We've wondered whether, you know, the better knowledge base of CTE and the effects of head trauma, we wondered, and we've even seen, not a lot, but you've seen occasional players who have said, you know what, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
Apparently, the NFL is not very concerned about it, right?
No,
we're going to add games.
No.
We're going to play more games.
Definitely not. I mean, they'll try to mask it, and they'll say, oh, well...
we got better helmets now.
Better helmets, kickoff changes to the kickoff rules, changes defensively, but because they can tell you that, oh, it's for player safety, but it's really just to score more points and to get more people to watch, because the majority of people would rather see a high-scoring game than a low-scoring game. So that's kind of what they go to. I also think years from now, and I don't know when it's going to really... impact, but people are playing at a less it's not growing as far as like young kids playing football. Like, there are more people, you run into more people all the time that say, I don't want my kid to play. And eventually, isn't that going to really water down the talent pool?
Yes.
Right now you're picking from so many thousands that play all through high school and want to play college and want to play in the pros. Eventually you're gonna have less and less people going after it, and that will affect the product. But that's probably years and years away.
And to your point, you know, the failure of these spring leagues, it's because of the dilution of talent is to such a degree that you don't want to watch that. It's not good football. It's not the same.
Right.
Who are these people? I don't care about any of them.
Those will never work.
And they will never work. And that dilution of talent is coming to the NFL if they get their way and can expand the schedule by a couple of games, because you can't have everybody sit out two games. You got to have players who can play.
Well, remember one of the big issues, I think it was 2 years ago, like when Aaron Rodgers got hurt and Deshaun Watson got hurt, and like all these starting quarterbacks got hurt. And that was, and you get to watch 16-game season. So imagine an 18-game season. If all these quarterbacks are getting hurt, now you just got backups, more action of them. And some of these guys, their teams make the playoffs just because like somebody's got to get in there, and then the product is just getting worse and worse, and eventually there would be some pushback to that.
I mean, around here, we think the quality of play is really good. I mean, you've got a team that's every year, you know, at least fighting for an AFC championship, if not a Super Bowl, if not winning a Super Bowl. But in a lot of cities in the NFL, the quality of play is pretty bad.
It's actually, I would say the interest in all four of the teams here in Boston, it makes you think differently than if you were somewhere else. Like we were talking about, like the Stanley Cup numbers for the country were bad, but for Boston, it's always going to be great. Or baseball, people are saying, oh, baseball is dying. Like, well, people are still going to Fenway. People still have the Red Sox. We're kind of in this bubble because we love the teams and all the teams are good, But you go to most other places, most other professional cities, and they could care less. Like, yeah, if the team's good, maybe we'll show up or whatever. And so you don't really understand the state of some of the leagues while you're in Boston or while you're in New York or while you're in Philly because everybody's so obsessed with the teams.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I actually had an idea on how to extend the NFL season without actually adding any games.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think if they gave every team, say they gave every team three bye weeks.
We're losing your phone,
no.
Mike. But that wouldn't really help things either because now you're going to really put more of the focus on those bad teams still. Because there are already some weeks now.
By the way, I hate bye weeks.
Bye weeks are brutal.
As a fan. Yeah. I understand why the players need them. I'm not, you know, denying the benefits to bye weeks. As a fan, I hate bye weeks. I don't want more.
But it also hurts the overall product, and it's harder to hide some of the bad teams because there are some weeks where, like, six teams have a bye. Six or eight teams have a bye. Then you have the two teams that played on Thursday night. And now, all of a sudden, you get down to Sunday. There's only a handful of games now. And then if a couple of them
stink, some of them aren't so good.
Yeah, then where do you turn? You're like, oh, that was a bad week in the NFL. So I don't think they're going to do that because they're also they don't make any money off the bye week. They don't because think about it. It's still I take it back. The TV packages, I guess you would still have to extend the week, but they probably get the same number of overall
games. But attendance numbers,
obviously. Oh, no, they're not getting any of that stuff.
Ben's up in Maine. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on?
So I just 3 points I want to make. One, I'm a sort of an old school guy, so you know, it was nice when you had one day dedicated to football and you could watch as many games as you wanted and hopefully your favorite team was playing that day. Then they added Monday night football. Now they got Thursday football. Now they're doing a couple of games on Thursday. Then you got the games on Saturdays around the holidays. I don't really want to dedicate that much of my life to football. And it was kind of nice when it was just sort of simplified. So there's sort of an oversaturation. So now you want to add two more games. I mean, that just seems silly to me. Not to mention, they're going to have to expand the size of the roster because these guys are getting beat up out there as it is. And you guys were just talking about how the CTE protocol and all that stuff. Case Keenum, just a couple years ago, got completely blitzed and had no clue where he was. Wouldn't have been able to unzip his fly if he had to pee because he clearly had a concussion and he was still out there playing. And that was after all the CTE stuff broke. The NFL doesn't give a crap about these guys physically and their brains. And this is, you know, so I don't want to see two more games where guys are out there getting crushed. It makes no sense to me. Great show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, and Rich made the point earlier, by the way, you know, let's say that this idiotic proposal went through. Well, teams don't carry two punters. They don't carry two kickers.
Right.
So what are you going to do? The two games that your punter's not allowed to play or the two games that Steven Gaskowski's not allowed to play, do you arrange it so that the punter has to kick for those two games and the kicker has to punt for the two games?
It was just so poorly thought out. But also,
long snapper. Most teams have one.
Right. So now you got to find another one. Or like the teams that have two quarterbacks on their roster. So now for those two games, what do you got to go find?
Who's
another
the backup?
Guy? Yeah, you got to go sign somebody else and then teach him the offense just in case. It's just there's too many.
I mean, the Patriots may have four, but
it's so easy to poke holes in this, though. Like, that's why it'll just never happen.
617-779-7937. Nick's in Gloucester. Hey, Nick.
Hey, I was just wanted to follow up. The guy got cut off there a few minutes ago talking about extending the season without adding any extra games. I kind of liked where he was going with it. What about the idea of just cutting the preseason short by two games? You have a two-game preseason, and then with those extra two games that you cut out, you just start the season earlier and have a couple extra bye weeks.
That
gives some time off.
My guess is that's what they would do, is they would shorten the preseason. But let me ask you, Nick, as a football fan, are you saying, oh, man, I really wish the regular season was longer?
I mean, it would be nice to start football earlier. I know in mid-August, I'm not thinking about, like, I want to watch the preseason. I'm thinking about, man, I wish I could see them start actual games sooner.
Well, all right, so I think that's a separate thing. Like, I'm with you. Four preseason games is too many. Like, I don't need
way
four,
too many.
I don't watch every second
around
of four
here,
preseason
we don't
games.
Watch,
no,
we don't watch
four preseason games is for the birds. But you've never once said, like, any of the sports, like, oh, man, I wish they played a few more games before the playoffs. Especially Patriots fans, it's like, let's get to the playoffs. But even if you were a team of somebody else, you're like, why do you need more? Like, you can't determine who the best regular season teams are in 16 games? That's more than enough.
You have a head coach here who treats the first few games of the regular season, like preseason games. So now he's going to treat more games like preseason games?
Yeah, right. The first month. So now it's the first six games of the year that they don't care about.
Where they're still, just the first four. Let's see. Let's try. Yeah, if we win, we win. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I understand that Belichick wants to win every game. But you guys have seen how he approaches these early season games and how the team itself.
Right.
Kind of iffy, you know, early parts of the season.
Right. They can get away with that. But no, but at no point are you saying, well, now how it was 14 games, wasn't there? It was a 14 game regular season back in like the 80s at some point, and then they switched, and I'm sure that
was
kind of
drastic.
So they're saying,
hey, we talked him into it once.
Yeah, we did it once, and look at this. This worked out.
We'll talk him into it again. They're stupid. They'll take what we offer them.
Yeah, I have zero interest in extra games. They don't need them.
What would the Players Association need?
Cha-ching!
That's it. Just give us more money. We'll give it to you.
Yeah, I think they would. Because I think they look so in the just for the immediate payoff, like literally in this case. So if you told them, hey, everybody's going to get more money. And oh, by the way, Player Association, we're going to add a few more players to the roster. Well, they're looking around. Oh, there's more jobs. More jobs, more money. I don't think they would turn that down. So if the NFL really wanted to push that through, I think that's all they'd have to say. All they'd have to do.
Well, then it's easy. They've got lots of money. I mean, the NFL could easily offer up more money for the players.
Then that's what it is. That's what they would have to do. Right? Why, I don't see why, based on the sort of the history that we know with the players, if they were guaranteed more money, not that they're going to get guaranteed contracts, but I'm just saying they're going to, hey, two more games.
We're not giving that up.
So we're going to increase it with the amount of games. My guess is that they would sign up for that.
617-779-7937. John's in Easton. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. I want to go back to what you were talking about in the Celtics a while ago. I want to make two comments, and I have a question to see if either one of you know the answer as it relates to the salary cap. So, Rich, I know you said you watched some of the games. I watched some of it. It was fun.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's a college all-star game. So how they perform against each other, you can't predict how they're going to perform against guys that are bigger, stronger, been in the NBA a long time. So I curb my enthusiasm a little bit because of that.
Oh, you have to. Okay. I think what it's proven out over the years in Summer League is you can tell who doesn't belong.
I heard you make that point Friday, and I agreed with it.
Yeah, you can take guys, and if they really struggle, then you know what? You're going to be even worse in the pros. If you do really, like, all the first-round picks should show up and should dominate. It doesn't always mean anything, but you're right. It was fun. You know, you got to see Carson Edwards score. I think maybe he'll be able to do that, but you got to think as maybe like the eighth man. And like Taco Fall, he was fun. I just hope he's on the roster. So you're right. No, you can't translate
that. That'll make for a lot of fun by itself.
Right.
My second comment before a question is, you know, I keep hearing a lot of people think they're excited about the roster and such. And I guess where my big concern is, Enos Kanter has the worst defensive rating of any center in the league. He's been in the league 10 years. He's only started two of the 10 years. And there's got to be a reason for that. I understand he can rebound. He can put the ball in the basket from 2 feet away. But defensively, he's a sieve. If you have to have him in the game at the end of a game, you're screwed. So, and they lost five of their top nine, okay? If you include Aaron Baines, Marcus Morris, Rozier, the other two, Horford and Kyrie, and you really added two guys, being Kemba and Kanter. You can almost make, because of the attitude and leadership, maybe Kemba and Kyrie become a wash in different ways. But Enos Kanter is a major step down from Horford and Baines in a lot of ways. So I don't even think they have a legitimate starting five right now, to be honest with you.
See, I think they do, and I think I agree with you on the defensive part, and we'll see how that works itself out. But I do think that part of the issue was they had a lot of talent last year, but it never worked out together. And you think about the number of shots that Kyrie, Marcus Morris, Terry Rozier, and not that Horford was a shooter, but still you add whatever it was, 10 shots, 12 shots a game, whatever it was that he had. And now there's a little bit more to go around for Hayward, Brown, and Tatum. Right. And can those guys be more comfortable because Marcus Morris isn't launching three after three because he's never you know, seen a shot he didn't like. Or Terry Rozier being a malcontent and then coming into the game and never really getting the most out of him. Like the old addition by subtraction, I think it could be some of that. And then you hope that the young guys that have a higher ceiling than Morris does or Rozier does, that they really seize the opportunity. I mean, you go Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, and Enes Kanter. That's not a bad starting five with Marcus Smart coming off the bench. And then maybe one
he's
of
right
the rookies.
About Kanter defensively. Though.
Stinks. Stinks defensively.
I mean, that is not what Brad Stevens is looking for.
No, and like Aaron Baines, if you look at all the defensive metrics, was fantastic.
Yes.
And still, what did that get you?
Big drop-off.
You know, it's a big drop-off, but it also didn't really – it's not like you taking a championship team and you're losing that. So he's going to have to get better. Grant Williams and Romeo Langford, maybe they're in the rotation a little bit. So I just think there's no perfect team in the NBA anymore. There's no certainly no perfect team in the Eastern Conference. And so I'm okay with what they have.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We continue with your calls as we work towards OMF at the top of the hour. I think they're all back to get today.
Whole crew?
Whole crew.
Whoa. Get a thumbs up in the back. Whole crew.
Big reunion day around here. Well, at least for two of the shows.
More or less.
Now that I think about
come
it.
Come on.
I didn't mean it the way it came out, and then it came out. We've got a trend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Do I dare ask Shima? Music question.
I mean, Shime. These are Shime style.
I like to keep the energy high.
He likes
Shime. This is just awful.
He likes a fun beat. He's a fun guy.
What do you mean this is awful? This doesn't get you moving.
What the
room?
Hell is this?
This is called Invincible by Def Kev.
I don't mean to be critical.
Def Kev. I like, wow. Shime, I like it. You keep doing you back there.
You like this?
That's all right. It's all right.
It means no.
It's all right.
I don't know. Since you were drinking out of that glass over there, your whole mind is going to
I don't feel great now. There's definitely something in there. It's got like an aroma to it.
It's got a ring around the bottom.
I don't know. Listen, it's not the cleanest glass in the world, but it's getting the job done. We got rid of paper cups here as like our big mission of like being more environmentally friendly. Yeah, and I think that's a nice thing, but that's going to lead me to using the same glass every single day.
Be afraid to give it a wash once in a while.
I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
I have a question for you. I want to know if you read this the same way that I did.
Okay.
So Jimmy Garoppolo did a interview with Kevin Clark on The Ringer. And, you know, exciting questions like watching film with Mike Shanahan. But one of the other questions was about Tom Brady. This was the question. Everyone who has ever been around Tom Brady seems to learn something about the sport. What specifically did you pick up from being around his preparation that stays with you? That was the question. Here's Jimmy Garoppolo's answer.
Not a damn thing.
Nothing. Next question. No, that's not what he said.
No.
He said, quote, "The preparation as a whole was tremendous just to see it, to be in the same room as it, to learn from it. To be a rookie and see that, it was invaluable. I can barely put it into words. What you learn is playing the game within the game. That's a big part of Tom. I don't even know if he told me that directly, but he would always talk about the game within the game. He would talk about the snap count, and he'd say, you're going to go on two on this play, and he'd have a specific reason. That's not the coaches telling you. That's the player playing the game within the game. It's the little things, the little details, and how he ties them all together. That's what separates you." Do you think he took a little bit of a shot at him?
No, I don't take it that way.
I thought it was funny because he was being complimentary.
He was.
That was the point. But when he's talking about what did he learn from Brady, and he says he learned something that I'm not sure he told me that. I don't even know if he told me that directly. Meaning,
well, part of it is observation.
But I always had the sense that it wasn't a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation.
It wasn't that
bad. But it was also Brady saying, well, this is my job. I'm not going to train the next guy to take my job. So he probably went about doing his normal routine and preparing.
Yep.
But he wasn't going to say, all right, Jimmy, like, here it is. Like, come get your playbook and let's check this out. Which, again, I don't think he has to do. I don't think. You know, he should be expected to do that, especially he's had so many years where he was still playing at a high level. But I thought that was funny. And then his example is about going for two or snap counts on two. I was like, what? What does that mean? Like, okay, great.
I will say, having spent a week out in the Bay Area, as I did. And I listened to sports talk radio.
See Jimmy out there?
No, I did not see Jimmy. Oh. I didn't run into him at Shake Shack. But you know, I listened to sports talk radio when we were driving from place to place.
Yeah.
Like, no talk about the 49ers.
Really?
No talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Everything
Warriors?
I heard
was
about the Raiders.
Oh, okay.
And training camp up in Napa and Hard Knocks and Antonio Brown. And
There's definitely more buzz about the Raiders. Now, I don't know if they'll be how good they're going to be. But there's, I mean, Antonio Brown.
You know
Brown
who they were very critical of?
Derek Carr.
Gruden.
Oh, well, they should be.
Very critical. They, you know, thank God we got Mike Mayock in there now. Now you've got an adult to kind of patrol the room. I mean, that was the take out there that they think Mayock will kind of stabilize things. And
well, they get rid of Khalil Mack, and he looks like the greatest defensive player of all time.
And then you talk
year.
About how hard it is to find a guy who can rush the passer.
You're like,
you just got rid of?
John, you just had one. And they're like, what direction are you going in? Like, are you playing for the future? And like, nope, we're going to go trade for Antonio Brown and bring him in. So they're a mess. But the Niners, I don't know, maybe because of the Garoppolo injury, they're sort of, you know, not really on the top of mind, I
guess. Maybe it was just the times when I happened to be listening, but it just seemed like all the football talk that I listened to out there was about the Raiders. Hmm. Wasn't about the Niners.
I am excited for Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks is going
to
be great.
I have to admit it will be kind of fun to
watch. Hard Knocks
is going to
be great. And they were the only choice. And so that's got to start, what, next month? Early August, I would think.
Yeah.
Isn't it? They do 4 weeks of it, so... I am excited.
I spent a day in Napa, but I didn't find where training camp was.
You didn't find.
I didn't look. There was a certain winery I was visiting instead.
Yeah.
But
you didn't see the Raiders or Davis walking around looking
no.
for him.
No, yeah, with that bowl cut, it would have been easy to spot him.
Yes, it would have.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
I think it's a good idea to spend the football league because. Two extra games, you expand the roster, and the other football teams, the other teams that fail, now they get to make their own practice squad like a Major League Baseball. You'll keep your own practice squad going, and the people can develop more. Right now, you got a 53-man roster, and if somebody get hurt, you got to pull them out. Don't even might not know the playbook, don't even know the system well. That's why they want to go to two more games, so they can have a minor league team.
Well, they do have a practice squad, Mike. They do have a practice squad. I mean, they would probably add to it, but they do. Each team has one.
Right. They have a practice, but listen, they only can practice a certain minute rep. But when you expand it two more games, you can practice often. Without helmets or with helmets, but the guys who are playing it right now, sometimes you can't even practice with helmets or without helmets. But when you add two more teams, you will get acclimated with the playbook and all that. These guys coming out to football right now, they can't even know the system. That's a good idea. Say Tom Brady. Just say Tom Brady got hurt. And
no.
Yeah, I mean, where were we going with that? Where were we going?
I mean, I do think there's a limit to how big your practice squad is going to be.
Like, all right.
You're not going to have two punters and two kickers and two long snappers.
Yeah, so you can put him down. He's in favor of the 18 games, but I think he's overstating how many more players you would have and that would be really beneficial in the long run.
Zach's in Lowell. Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Awesome. So I had a would you rather for you guys.
Let's hear it.
Would you rather see Tom Brady play till he's 50 years old, or would you rather see Bill Belichick coach until he can't remember where he's at anymore?
Is Brady
like
still
seems
good?
Like a really bad choice.
Yeah. Is Brady still like good until he's 50?
Yeah. No. Brady's. I'd say he's subpar, but you know everybody still likes him.
People around here aren't going to dislike him, but
they're still a fan. They still, appreciate what he did for the team. I guess put me down for a 50-year-old quarterback then, I guess.
Because I don't want to see Bill Belichick where he can't remember where he parked his car.
Right, because he's also in charge of the personnel and the coaching. So he's wearing,
it's sort of a dumb dichotomy of choices.
I thought would you rather was reserved for Wednesdays, not Mondays, but that's fine.
I mean, that's fine. In a best case scenario, I think Brady plays till he's 45, and I think that's ambitious.
Yeah, I think
I think that's best case scenario.
I think he's got. Although every year he can just keep moving it a little bit, because this year for sure, next year I think he's going to play, and then maybe two more years he's done. Especially if he squeezes out one more Super Bowl. Because I think that also changes the question.
Mike Reese, writing on ESPNBoston.com, has got, you know, 10 things about, you know, the upcoming season and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Hannibal only
had 7 on his, so Hannibal's got to get some more things.
Yeah, I guess. One of the things he said on here was, and this is Reese talking, he said, those close to Tom Brady describe him as being as excited as ever. He is part of the group that reports next week to Gillette Stadium. The way it happens is quarterbacks and players recovering from injuries are among those who report for training camp earlier than the regular veteran reporting date, which is July 24th. So Brady will be among the group that reports next week. And according to Reese, those close to Brady describe him as being as excited as ever.
That's interesting because you would think with no Rob Gronkowski, at least to start,
for now,
it would sort of curb that a little bit. But he's got his guy Edelman back. They just drafted a wide receiver for the first time ever with Brady in the first round. So maybe he's pumped up about that. You know, I mean, obviously the offense is going to still, you're like, you need somebody to step up. You got no tight ends. The number two receiver is kind of whatever. But, you know, Brady's obviously excited, coming off a very successful year. And I could see that.
I'm not going to pretend that I watched all of the ESPYs. It was on in the background. It was there.
Did watch a snip.
And I saw Gronk up there with Lindsey Vonn and Dwayne Wade. And I thought, like everybody else said, boy, he looks thin.
He is. It does look real thin. But I mean, you could probably put that back on.
Looks happy.
He does look happy.
Rested.
Healthy.
Looks healthy. Yeah. Nobody, you know, he's not out there killing himself in off-season workouts.
No.
And yet, I continue to hear people say, oh, no, he'll be playing this year.
I know. I think almost more people are saying he's going to play than he's not. I'm still saying he's not. I don't think he's going to be bad.
I think he, well, I've been saying all along.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
That I think he will, at some point or another, make his way, you know, back onto the roster.
Well, they clearly have a spot still for him. It's not like they went out and paid a tight end to do anything. They got a whole bunch of, you know, average to below average tight ends. So if he decides to come back at any week, they'll take him.
One of the things that Reese talked about, rookies are supposed to report to training camp July 21st. Veterans follow on the 24th. But he said some players are already trickling into Gillette Stadium. Among those, he said, who's reporting early, is second-year receiver Braxton Berrios.
Good, he needs to.
Who looks at this roster and says, okay, you got Julian Edelman, he's
right.
A lock.
You got a great
shot. You got N'Keal Harry, he's a lock. After that...
Where do you at? You got nothing. So, yeah, good for him. He should be there. You know, it's almost like they're going to have two rookie classes this year because so many of their rookies from a year ago were on IR all year long.
Yes.
So many of those guys weren't a factor. Isaiah Wynn, the most important of all of them, but you go up and down that list... So many guys like Duke Dawson and Braxton Berrios, like they'll have a real chance this year.
And Wynn is another guy that Reese talks about that everybody's going to be watching Isaiah Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably the key to the offseason for the Patriots. Is this guy ready finally?
Right.
We're talking about the most important position on the offensive line. I know the center touches the ball every play, but
it's the left tackle.
That left tackle's the guy who you hope keeps Brady upright and reasonably healthy throughout this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the guy more than anybody else.
I agree.
And we have such faith in Dante Scarnecchia. We figure if he's upright, if he's able to put on a uniform, Scarnecchia will find a way to make him good.
Let's hope so.
Maybe. I'm not going to give you the phone number because when we come back, we've got what else you got, including the United States Air Force issuing a warning.
Oh,
and
no.
Keith, I want you to take note of this.
I'm listening.
Because I think they're talking to you.
Maybe.
And a big event last night at Fenway Park. Among other things that we'll talk about. What else you got coming up next? Sports Radio, WEEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we have not yet had cross our table here earlier.
What else you got?
We had a big event last night on the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network.
Oh, that's right.
Sean McDonough was on the call when this happened.
1-0 the count. Martinez took a ball. Here's the 99th pitch, and it's a high fly ball deep center field.
toward the triangle, and gone into the Red Sox bullpen. J.D. Martinez, a blast to the opposite field. Back-to-back homers, and the Red Sox are even with the Dodgers at four apiece. And that makes a winner in our Cumberland Farms 99th pitch giveaway of Raymond Goetz, courtesy of J.D. Martinez. Raymond wins $999.
Congratulations awesome. To Raymond Goetz.
And when you knew that you were entered and you see J.D. Martinez up when it's going to be roughly the 99th pitch,
that's
not bad.
You're only wishing the bases were loaded.
Exactly. But, yeah, true. But that's awesome.
It's always when you're calling the games and that 99th pitch, you're always like, ooh, I wonder if this is going to be the one.
That's at least the second time that's happened this year. So that's awesome.
We're just giving away money just around here.
Left and right.
All right, I'll add mine real quick because I think this is right up your alley.
Okay, let's hear it.
There is a Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
1 million Facebook users.
That's a lot of people.
Who have tried to put together an event they call Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us.
They couldn't possibly.
They say they want more than 1 million strangers to meet up during the early morning hours on September 20th to coordinate entry into Area 51 in Lincoln County, Nevada.
Oh, so September 20th. So I got time to get out there.
You got time. Yeah. This is supposedly where they're hiding all the secrets about UFOs and aliens.
Why'd you say supposedly?
Because I haven't been there yet.
This is where they're hiding all this
stuff. Well, I'm just saying.
Okay.
So the U.S. Air Force has apparently heard about this. Air Force spokeswoman Laura McAndrews has issued a stern warning. She says, quote, Area 51 is an open training range for the U.S. Air Force, and we would discourage anyone from trying to come into the area where we train American armed forces. The U.S. Air Force always stands ready to protect America and its assets.
Ooh, including alien spacecraft.
Well, I don't know that you have to protect them, but
you might have to, or you might use it to protect it. These things can be weaponized.
That would be the best.
These things can be weaponized. We may have more on that tomorrow during Madness.
Really?
We may have a little bit more on Area 51 and what the hell is going on out there.
Did they actually get 1 million people to join this Facebook group?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes. And they're all gonna go out there and they're gonna find some stuff. Because it's
lost in the Nevada desert.
Yeah, it's in the news again. So I don't know on Netflix if you've seen the Bob Lazar documentary. He also went on Joe Rogan's podcast over the last week or two.
Yeah.
And so it's getting a whole lot of attention again. And I think that's what really led to that Facebook.
Evidently, that's why they're doing it.
Pretty interesting.
What else you got?
I'll tell you what else I got. So this just came down a few minutes ago. According to Shams Charania, the Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons have agreed to a 5-year $170 million max contract extension. So you would think that means 5 more years of Ben Simmons in Philly, but it's the NBA, Dale, so he could demand a trade at any minute and go to whatever team he wants.
Doesn't really mean he'll be in Philadelphia for long.
Nope. Rich Paul is his agent, so if he ends up in with the Lakers somehow, some way, I don't know how they would get it done, but it's the NBA, so I wouldn't rule it out. There could be a major trade tonight that happens.
So you told me there was also a major signing by the Celtics.
Yes, they got their guy Vincent Poirier, the big fella. What? He's a French, the French center. You don't like him?
I'm sure.
He's a nice player.
He's got a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, he's ripe with tattoos. He's 6'11", 235, 25 years old, on the French national team. Dale, still with us? That doesn't get you going. I'm trying to get Taco Falls on the team,
and now you're adding this French center to the mix.
I want Taco, too. How about last year, he was all EuroLeague second team. He led the EuroLeague in rebounding. Anything there?
Hello? The EuroLeague.
Did I mention he is 2.13 meters tall?
No, that's what I was looking for.
Did I mention that?
2.13 meters?
That's correct. He was born in Clamart, France. Got a beard on him. Anything else do it for you? He was born in 1993. Anything else? What else do you like about this guy?
How do you say Maine Red Claws in French?
I don't know. Ask Yabusele.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. Good to see you again, pal.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Go home and don't sleep.
Definitely going to happen.
What's going to happen. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.